Death is a subject that few want to consider, to discuss, or even to plan for. Because death brings to an end forever life on this earth as humanity knows it. Therefore, to the masses of humanity, they want to put the subject of death as far from their mind as is possible. I think it would surprise us if we were to learn and discover how few even make any temporal preparation for the time when they die. The word came to the king by the prophet in Isaiah 38. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. In other words, get your earthly affairs in order, because soon you will die, and yet how few there are, because they don't want to consider death. They don't want to discuss it. They don't want to plan for it, because it brings them face to face with the reality that one day they will die. And yet, death is a reality. It was not originally in this world when created by God. It has rightly been said that death was an intruder into this world. When God created this world, He created it with life. He was the giver of life. We read that the animal kingdom multiplied and was to bring forth life, that the herbs of the field and the natural life brought forth life, the natural creation. When God created man, He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God created this world, His gift to it was life. And that life would have been sustained forever had our first parents not sinned. Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, the Lord declared to Adam and Eve, they could eat of every tree of the garden and of every fruit of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil they may not eat, for in the day thou eatest thou shalt surely die. And had Adam and Eve not eaten of the forbidden fruit, life would have been the gift of God forever and forever. Man would have dwelt on this earth without the presence of death. But with Adam and Eve's sin, death, that intruder, entered this world. It has been stated that death is the illegitimate child of Satan, conceived with Eve by the immoral act of sin. You see, as by man death entered into the world, Satan was the murderer from the beginning, and he tempted Eve, and she in turn tempted Adam, and they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They sinned, and death entered the world by their sin. Death is that great reality that we must face. I want to take as my text this evening the words of verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 15. Draw your attention to three things we learn here about death. I want you firstly to notice death is described. The last enemy, Paul says, that shall be destroyed is death. And in that verse, the first thing that he does, he describes death. And he does not describe it as the friend of humanity. He doesn't describe it as the companion or the kinsman of humanity. No, he describes it as the enemy. Indeed, he calls it the last enemy. Now mankind, because of sin, has many enemies. There's the enemy of the devil. He's the roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And he's walking about seeking to destroy souls. He's the arch enemy of humanity. Man has the enemy of Satan. He's the enemy of sin. Paul spoke about the pleasures of sin being for a season. Moses rejected them because he saw and he understood that sin, while it had pleasure, it was only for a season. And sin is an enemy of your soul, and it comes as your friend, and it says, I will give you this pleasure and that pleasure and the other pleasure. But sin, when it is finished, bringeth you to death and to destruction. It is an enemy of your soul. Either Satan, it's an enemy, and sin's an enemy. Sickness is an enemy. And sickness entered into this world because of sin. Disease and illness. Because of sin, it's an enemy. It weakens. It decays. It defiles the body. And it too can lead to death. There are enemies that the soul or that man has. But the last enemy, Paul said, is death. Death is an enemy, and it's the last one that you will face. It is an enemy because it robs us of God's original purpose and gift. God's gift was life. And yet death brings to an end our life on earth. It separates us from loved ones. And from all of our earthly possessions and the place that we know. It brings to an end our journey and our time upon this earth. It destroys the body. It is an enemy. And it's the last enemy that each and every one will have to face. Let me mention a number of things about death being the last enemy as Paul described it here. Death as an enemy, it is a common enemy. Writing to the Romans, Paul said, death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. Death is the common enemy of all mankind. Let me ask the question tonight, what does the Ulster Protestant loyalist in Brownstown or Kirkcrean have with the Irish Republican Roman Catholic in Garvaghy? The fact that they'll die, and they'll die because they're sinners. It's the common enemy of all mankind. What does the rich man brought up in the ivory palace with a silver spoon in his mouth? What does he have in common with the beggar who lies in the street, picks the food from the rubbish bin, and eats with his bare hands? What do those men have in common? They'll die. The rich man will die and the poor beggar will die because they're both sinners, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What does the white man have in common with the black man? What does the eastern man have in common with the western man? The fact that they will all die. This is a common enemy against humanity. It is appointed unto man once to die. And every son of Adam's race, no matter what color their skin, no matter what creed, no matter what their political persuasion is, they will die the death. Because they were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It's a common enemy of all mankind. Let me say, it's a close enemy. David, Saul was hunting him down in 1 Samuel 20. And he made that statement, there's but a step between me and death. One wrong step and I'll be dead. One wrong turn in the wilderness and Saul will have me. And he'll slay me with that javelin. With the sword. But a step. My friend, death could be closer to you than you really know or understand. How many have died so suddenly? It was just 1 week ago. And I say this with the greatest of respect. And I say it with the greatest of sympathy to the families of those who passed away. But just 1 week ago, 3 young people from the next town along the motorway to here were heading out for a night of fun and a night to party, a night to be entertained. And little did they think that they were just a few steps queuing for that nightclub, queuing for that disco. Little did they think that they were just a few steps from death. And tragically, and I say that with sympathy, we feel for the families. We sympathize with them. To lose a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old, what a sad event it is. But I'm making the point tonight that there were three young people marching along the road of life with their whole lives ahead of them, ready to enter into a place of entertainment. And yet they were just stepping along the road, and they took a step and the death angel came. My friend, it could be closer than you think. It's a common enemy. It's a close enemy. Let me say, it's a concealed enemy. One of the acts of war is the act of ambush, where the enemy will set up in a particular place. They know that the opposition, the other army, is coming their way, and they dig in and they conceal themselves and they set up an ambush. And as their perceived enemy comes along, they open up on the enemy. And the army, they're marching along the road, and all they can see is hedgerow or fields, but all of a sudden, the machine guns open fire, and they're cut down because they were concealed from view. My friend, that's like death. It's a concealed enemy. It's concealed from your view. Isn't that what Isaac said in Genesis 27 and verse 2, I know not the day of my death. Oh, the foolish farmer in Luke chapter 12, he had grand plans. His crops brought forth plentifully. He said, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger. And I'll say to my soul, you've much laid up for many years. Eat, drink and be merry. And yet that night the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required for thee. He thought he many years ahead of him, but death came up, concealed, ambushed him, put its hand upon his shoulder and drew him out into eternity. It's a concealed enemy. You do not know the day of your death. They could be ready to take you at any moment. Let me say, it's not only common, close, concealed, but it's a cruel enemy. Death cares not if it takes away the only breadwinner in the family. The Lord Jesus one day was marching, walking into the village or city of Nain with a group of people. They were following the Prince of Life, but another procession came out of Nain. They were following the bar or a coffin of a young man, and he was the only son of a woman who was a widow. He was the breadwinner. He would have supported and sustained his mother. He was her only means of support. We're not told how death entered into the home. But it took that man in the prime of life, the one who supported his mother, the one who was a breadwinner, who would care for her, who would support her. Death didn't care. Death doesn't care when it takes away the child. Doesn't discriminate. My death takes the ripe as well as the green as well as the ripe. We visit Jairus' home and we see his little daughter lying dying. And we can see the tears flowing from a mother's face, realizing there's no more hope. And oh, before the Lord Jesus arrives, they send the message that she's dead. My death takes the little child from the mother. Their tears flow with anguish and with grief. I tell you, death's the cruel enemy. Doesn't care what devastation it leaves behind. Doesn't care how much hurt or pain it causes in homes and families. It's a cruel enemy. I tell you, it's a confident enemy. More confident than Goliath. And so it should be. Goliath's confidence was a false confidence. But he looked at David, the young stripling of a lad, and he said, "Are you come out to fight against me, the giant, the champion, the man of war among the Philistines? You're sending out a stripling of a lad. I'll take his flesh and I'll feed it to the birds of heaven. You're sending out a dead dog against me." And he was supremely confident. I tell you, death is even more confident. You can't outrun the pale horse. To try and escape from death is to try to outrun the horses, the pale horse, and you'll never do it. And one day it will come to you and it will take you. And when it comes for you, you must yield, you must submit, you must surrender to death. It can't be outrun. It can't be outfought. You can't have victory over it in or off yourself. It's a confident enemy. Let me say, it's a consuming enemy. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. It will consume your mortal body. It will consume it, and you will return to dust. The Lord took the dust and he made man. And because of sin, man will return to dust by death. Job, in graphic terms, in Job 19 and 25 and 26, he said, "Though after my skin worms destroy this body." Spurgeon spoke about our bodies becoming food for the worms by death. It will consume us. And I have to ask you tonight in light of this powerful, real enemy, how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? The swelling of Jordan in the Bible is used as a description of death. I ask you, how will you do? Death is described, and it's described as an enemy. An enemy of all mankind. But then, do you notice secondly from our text tonight, it speaks of death not only described, but death destroyed. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. My death is powerful, but it's not all powerful. Death is mighty, but it's not almighty. It's greater than you, but praise God, it's not greater than God or Jesus. These words were spoken in the context of Christ putting down and reigning over all his enemies. Look at verse 25. "For he must reign till he hath put down all enemies under his feet." The Lord Jesus as our Savior, the Lord Jesus as the God-man, he will put down, he will destroy all his and our enemies. And death is one of them. And it's going to be the last enemy he's going to put down and destroy. You see, the mission of Christ into this world was to destroy the works of the devil. John said, "For this cause was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And one of the works of the devil was death. He said, in John chapter 10, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, the devil brought misery. The devil brought sin. The devil brought death. The devil brought judgment. But Jesus Christ, he has brought life. He has brought immortality. He has brought salvation. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And that last enemy, that last work that he shall destroy is the work of death. Let me tell you the reason why death will be destroyed. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We had to learn these verses in Dr. Paisley's class in the Whitfield College of the Bible. He had the students memorize Hammond. Hammond was an Anglican, an evangelical Anglican, who ministered, I believe, if my memory serves me right, in Australia for many years. And he set forth 100 texts that every Christian should memorize. And as part of the Doc's class, we had to memorize these texts. And two of them was Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And I have to say, they're favorite verses of mine. They're tremendous verses, full of doctrine, full of evangelical truth, full of hope. And they set forth the gospel so clearly and plainly, for as much then as the children, that's you and me, we're children of Adam's race, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. We have a soul, but we're also partakers. We have a body, flesh and blood. He, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. He took a body. He took a human nature. He became man, that through death he might destroy him, that at the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you see from these verses that the devil has power, the power of death, and by the power of death, he holds men in fear and in bondage to it. There's a fear of death. A real fear and death. Why is there a fear and death? Because death has a sting. The sting of death is sin. And I tell you, to die in your sin is a fearful thing. To die in your sin will bring the judgment of God. To die in your sin will bring the just penalty and punishment for your sin upon your soul. And I tell you, there is a natural fear in death, because after death, the judgment. And I tell you, the devil has the power of death, and he holds men in fear and in bondage to it. But do you see from these verses that Christ has destroyed him that is the power of death? The word destroy there, if you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that it could be translated annul. Makes it void. The devil has annulled and destroyed the power of the devil to hold men in fear, the fear of death. He has completely stripped them of that power. He has annulled it. And do you notice how he did it? He did it by his own death. That's why the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Spirit, God the Son, He took a human nature and a human body, and he was born of the Virgin Mary, and he lived that perfect life, and then he died. Why did he come? Why did he live? Why did he die? Because it was through his death that he destroyed him that had the power of death. He disarmed the devil. He disarmed him with the fear of death. And he did it by his death. Why? Because the sting of death is sin, and in his death he dealt with our sin. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered, and he died alone. And there upon the cross, he paid the price and the punishment for our sin. There he satisfied the law's demands. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. The law cries out that mankind has sinned. And that's the strength of death. The strength of sin is the law. But I tell you, Jesus Christ satisfied the law's demands. He paid the punishment for the broken law. And then he put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. When he shed his blood and he died, he satisfied the law's demands. He satisfied God's holy justice. Therefore, he triumphed, and he has defeated death by his death and by his resurrection. And I tell you, he's the one you need. You cannot face death without him. Oh, many have, and they've gone the way of the sinner. They've ended up in a Christless hell. But men and women, the only way to face death is with and in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He your Savior? He has defeated death. That's the reason it will be destroyed. But then we have the reality of it being destroyed. And Paul goes on to speak about it in that chapter. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Look at verse 24 and then 52, and it tells us about the fullness and the finality of death being destroyed. Verse 24, then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule, all authority and power. That end is the end of His coming. Oh, men and women, He's going to come again. And upon His coming to this earth, verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Just pause there for a moment. The dead shall be raised. Again, I think it was Spurgeon who said that death's captives must go free. Not one bone shall remain in the ground as a trophy, because death shall be abolished. Then shall be brought to pass that saying that death is swallowed up in victory. When the Savior descends, the saints shall rise. Thy dead men shall live, Isaiah said. And up from the grave we shall arise. Then shall this mortal put on immortality. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. The dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Do you know what will happen then? Revelation 21 verse 4 gives us the answer. There shall be no more death. He shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. There shall be no more death. In the eternal state, our bodies will not die. We will live forever. Body and soul reunited, glorified, to be forever with the Lord. Weren't those tremendous words that we sang together, that offering hymn, forever with the Lord? Amen. So let it be. Listen to the last verse. So when my latest breath shall rend the veil in twain, by death I shall escape from death and life eternal gain. That resurrection word, that shout of victory, once more forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. I tell you, on that day, death shall be no more. And there will be no death in the eternal state. But forever and ever, we shall dwell with the Lord. Those that are saved, those that have died in Christ, those that have been united to Him, death shall be vanquished and fully, finally, and forever destroyed. Let me say to the sinner, listen, if you die in your sin, it will be the second death for you. There will be no victory. There will be no conquering of death. But you will die the second death, when death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire. And your body will only be raised and reunited with your soul to be sentenced to eternal judgment. I want to say one final thing as we close tonight. And I believe that while it's not directly in the verse, it's certainly implied and it's in the passage. The verse speaks of death described. The verse speaks of death destroyed. Let me say finally, because death will be destroyed, death can be defied. A little chorus that we teach the children goes something like this: with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. With Christ in the vessel of our souls, we can smile at death as we go sailing home. You see, we will still have to face death unless the Lord returns first. But with Christ in our hearts, we can smile at death. We can defy death. We can taunt death. We can laugh at death. You say, preacher, is it not too solemn and serious a subject to do all of those things? That's what the apostle was doing at the end of this chapter. He taunts death in verse 56. O death, where is thy sting? Oh, you think you'll have the last laugh over me when my body is laid into the earth and it returns to dust. But death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Where is it? You'll not have the victory over me, death. Oh, my body may lie for 2,000 years within the tomb, but there's coming a day when it shall arise from the grave, and forever it shall live with Christ. You will not have the victory. Why? Verse 57, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian can defy death because in Jesus Christ we have the victory. Let me ask you a question as we close. Do you face death with fear? The fear of the unknown, the fear of judgment, the fear of condemnation for your sin, or do you face it in faith? The death is the gateway to eternal life, eternal bliss, and eternal victory. Only you can answer that. I trust tonight you'll answer it honestly. And if you're still held in the bondage and fear of death, may you come to know Christ, who is the giver of life and who has vanquished the fear of death.